Let's turn in God's Word to Ecclesiastes in chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 16. And we will read through verse 24. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 16 through 24. God's people, let's pray. Our gracious Father, we again thank You that You are merciful, not giving us what we deserve, but gracious, giving us what we don't deserve by speaking to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray that that would be true this evening. We pray that You give us ears to hear and eyes to see Your Son, that we would look above the Son from the vanities of this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16. These are the words of the Lord. Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? It is good that thou shouldst take hold of this, yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than the 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it is far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Those are God's words. And thus far, again, we've covered in chapter 7 the five remedies to the vanities of this world that we engage in, even as God's children. These vanities we must put off. As we think of vanities like sin, it's evil, it's wickedness, futile. And the remedies we must put on. We must clothe ourselves with the righteousness of Christ. Here we're learning about the righteousness of Christ. The remedies we've been called to put on are a good name, seriousness, patience, wisdom to defend against riches, and submission to the Lord's providence. And now we continue, and the Lord, through the preacher Solomon, gives three more remedies in the passage before us. The first, this evening, avoiding extremes to avoid unnecessary dangers. Avoiding extremes to avoid unnecessary dangers. Verse 16. It says, be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldst thou destroy thyself? So here's a warning to the righteous, to you who are righteous, who are children of God, who are looking above the sun, but that you can be overly righteous. Not closer to perfectly righteous. So let's get our definitions correct here. Not talking about even justification. You can be overly righteous, not closer to perfectly righteous, but overly righteous. You can do something, whatever it is, from your conscience, from a conviction that this is your duty, that it must be done, and when in all actuality it was not necessary for you to do it. Solomon is warning you about falling into that kind of extreme before you go headfirst into danger, which in this case would be unnecessary. You don't have to go. Even while you are still righteous, you don't have to do this or whatever it is. There are dangers that are necessary, absolutely, and absolutely part of our duty, part of our seeking first His kingdom, looking above the sun. But sometimes with that heart and mind of serving the church, we can also do those things that seem righteous in the face of danger, but here are actually unnecessary. At least unnecessary at the time. And so we need to be careful. A few examples in Scripture so we can understand this more. First, the principle, we covered this in Romans 10, verse 2. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So you have to be in Christ. You have to turn to Christ Jesus for your salvation. He must be your righteousness or you will perish. You can have all the knowledge in the world and what appears to be all righteousness. You could be righteous appearing and have no true wisdom. And that is vanity of vanities under the sun. But if you have Christ looking above the sun, you have true knowledge, you have true wisdom, you have true righteousness. And so it all starts with Christ in your life. You think of Saul. The Lord, through Samuel, commanded Saul to be utterly destroy the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites. And then he brought Agag the king, and the people took spoil, etc. It goes on. And from what was left, which that spoil should have been destroyed, God commanded, and he brought it rather to sacrifice to the Lord. Right? To Saul, it was better to sacrifice to the Lord from those things instead of obeying His voice. It was righteous to him. He was overly righteous in this. We can turn this into worship, he thought. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Or the disciples. Mark chapter 14, we read a few weeks ago, Mary poured the precious oils on Jesus' head to anoint him for his burial. And they said, the disciples said, it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. They're thinking this is a righteous anger, right? That's what they're thinking. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble her? She hath wrought a good work on me." So they, the disciples, were looking under the sun, though seeking to be overly righteous. Many of the examples in Scripture are the wicked Jews in the Gospels of Acts seeking to be righteous and that overly righteous, thinking they're serving the Lord and actually hurting and persecuting the people of God, and even crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we must seek to be righteous. Nobody should deny that. We be filled with godly piety, following God's commandments, but righteousness must be guarded by wisdom. Righteousness must be guarded by wisdom. Zeal must be guarded by wisdom. We can think of this as applying to the wicked, but it also applies to God's children. Romans 12, verse 3. "For I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We just heard last Lord's Day, verse 15 in our passage. "There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness." So there are dangers in being righteous. Sometimes God's children can be overly zealous in their righteousness and run into great dangers that could have been avoided if they were more patient. Or they could have been avoided if they trusted and were contented with the providence of God unto them. And that doesn't mean stop being righteous. It doesn't mean stop obeying God's commandments to be patient in certain circumstances. That doesn't mean stop being zealous, but consider God's providence. You may in righteous zeal be moved in anger over sin and seek to do something contrary to then God's commandments in order to correct the sin. In order to that we might say, for God's side to win, we might be so zealous that we actually sin so that God wins. Or God is seen to win. An example was that man in the news many years ago. Most of you probably have heard of this. That he was so zealously righteous or overly righteous in stopping the abomination of abortion that he went and murdered the doctor who was aborting the babies. That's being overly righteous. Consider God's providence. And being filled with righteousness, you'll make sure you are filled with wisdom always, always, always. Obeying the Lord's commandments in Christ. We should never be put in a place where we are breaking God's commandments in order to bring about a victory, quote, a victory for the Lord, or to bring about success in the church. And there are many who have attempted and tried that, and they're being overly righteous. The only thing you do, we see, is in doing that, is to destroy yourself. Verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldst thou die before thy time? You go back to verse 15, there's a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. And you see that you may be tempted to just, because he's prospering, to just let loose, falling into all kinds of lust and impurities and sins and putting on wickedness and vanities because, well, their life is prolonged. They're enjoying themselves and they're well off, it seems, which is vanity of vanities. You don't see the vanities. Don't see those vanities and turn from them or turn from Christ to them. Don't turn to the vanities. Turn from them. Look above the sun. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is a Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. They put off faith, those two men that Paul names, and put on wickedness. And so they were excommunicated from the church so they could be, according to God's word, reclaimed from their sin. So they would learn not to blaspheme and turn from Satan back to Christ. It's very dangerous to put on presumptuous sins. That is, those sins that you commit willfully. You know that you're committing sin, you commit it. And you sin. All while knowing God's word and having wisdom. That's what they did. Beloved, if you are engaged in such sins, you confess those sins to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. All those vanities of excess and lust, and greed, why destroy yourself? Why should you, by excess of sin, consume your body or waste your strength or cast yourself into danger of civil justice? Or bring upon your body and soul the curse threatened against desperate sinners, even excommunication and promise of eternity in hell. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Verse 18, it says, It is good that thou shouldst take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Proverbs 4, verse 13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Meditate upon the dangers. It's good that thou shouldst take hold of this. He says, what is of this? Take hold of this. It's good to do that. What is of this? It's the preceding passage, the clauses that you be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Be not righteous over much, neither make thyself overwise. You take hold of those truths, of this instruction. Don't withdraw your hand from them. Why? Because, he says, he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. He that feareth God shall come forth from them all. There may be dangers along the way as you look above the sun, but if you fear God, if you fear God, if you fear the Lord, if you serve Him and meditate upon His precepts and meditate upon Him who is on high, and all those dangers into which extremes would likely draw you in if you go into them, the one who fears the Lord turns not to the right. You don't turn to the left if you fear Him. But you will be preserved, he says. And so those who fear the Lord will be preserved from the dangers. Psalm 34, verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want, that is lack, any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Beloved, avoid extremes to avoid unnecessary dangers. If it's necessary, that's fine. But avoid extremes to avoid unnecessary dangers. And you do so by how? Fearing the Lord. So maybe this point is fearing the Lord. The remedy is fearing the Lord. Look above the sun. Put on not just righteousness and zeal and knowledge, but wisdom as well. And the second remedy this evening is wisdom toward the offensive. Wisdom toward the offensive. That is, those who make offense, or those who bring offense upon you. Right? Wisdom toward the offensive. Verse 19. It says, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. What does wisdom teach us? It teaches us that we should not expect to deal with people who are perfect in this world. We should not expect to deal with people who are faultless, because we are not faultless ourselves. None are faultless, not even one. None righteous, not one. Not even the most righteous and most wise are faultless. It's in this way that wisdom strengthens the wise man more than the 10 mighty men who defend the city. Wisdom arms us to be able to withstand the danger that arises when we are provoked, when we are in circumstances that brings such conversation about. When we have conversations with people, wisdom instructs us that we are not dealing with angels, righteous angels. We're not dealing with righteous angels, but sinful sons and daughters of Adam. Even those clothed with the righteousness of Christ, each one has remaining sin. Verse 20, it says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. He's talking about the justified man, the justified woman, justified child. There's not one that doeth good and yet sinneth not. And so now, beloved, even in the church, you know, and we know, that justified men and women do good. Of course they do. For the tree is known by its fruit, and yet even the righteous and wise are not free from sin on this earth. We know this. We just examine our own hearts and we know this. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Even in our doing good, there is sin. There are defects. There is something offensive, beloved, when we are at our best. Only in heaven will the righteous be made perfect in holiness. But here, even at our best, we bring offense. Offensive to God in our good, because there are still defects. Not when considering justification, but when considering sanctification. Justification, we're declared righteous in Christ alone. We stand declared righteous in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. We're received by the Lord in Christ. But sanctification, we still have remaining sin. There's still work to do. There's still offense given to the Lord and even unto man. And therefore, verse 21, wisdom teaches us not to be so short-sighted. Don't be so taken aback when Christians sin. When your brother close to you sins. When your sister does the same. When people sin. Don't resent people due to their sinning against you. You're injured by someone. They've caused you offense, even great offense. Let wisdom strengthen you. Psalm 38 says, "They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my heart speak mischievous things, and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." So sometimes, beloved, we're so concerned with what people think of us, we're tempted to be concerned about and inquisitive to know what people say about us, even when we're not in their presence. If you search after that knowledge, he's saying here, if you search after that knowledge, you find that they speak well of you, that will increase your pride. They'll feed your pride. If they speak bad about you, it will stir up sorrow and anger. Wisdom calls you to seek to approve yourself to God. Look above the sun. And your own conscience before God. And not to take heed of what people say about you. Because you know that they will curse you. Even your servant will curse you, he says. Because all people sin. And they will turn upon you. Even if we're thinking of our spouses. They will say something bad about you at some point, even though they shouldn't. But they will, because they're sinners. May it not be, but it happens. And so do not be so concerned. Verse 21. "Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others." You've done the same thing. And so, beloved, put on wisdom. And seek not to know all that men think and say about you. Some may be true. Some lies. But at the end of the day, put on wisdom and remember that all cause offense, even yourself, even to them. So wisdom toward the offensive. Put on wisdom. Look above the sun. And then the final remedy this evening, contentment with what is beyond us. Contentment with what is beyond us. Verse 23, it says, "All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out?" So here's the preacher, Solomon, who professes the truth. All these remedies and instructions of chapter 7 thus far, that wisdom is an excellent protector of a righteous man against his own sin and against his vanities and the dangers of ignoring that wisdom. He's confirmed those dangers by his own lifelong experience and trials. And yet he admits to his coming short of that wisdom needed. He is content in his place. Matthew's gospel says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." Be content. This is Solomon, the wisest mere man ever to walk the face of the earth according to God's word. 1 Kings chapter 3 says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee," this is the Lord speaking, "Lo, I have given thee, Solomon, a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, and neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And yet here's Solomon saying, "I had come short. It was far from me." Psalm 119 says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts." Solomon then used all the means at his disposal to grow in wisdom, to increase God's gift to him. Proverbs 8, for he said this, Solomon does, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things which may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Well, how can you have it? How can you have wisdom? How can you grow in wisdom? First, we know he prayed for it. James 1, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But that's what Solomon did. He prayed for it. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, give me, Solomon speaking, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? To grow in wisdom, content with what is beyond you, but found in God alone, found in Christ alone, put on prayer and ask for wisdom. The second thing, put on humility. 1 Kings 3 again. And now, O Lord, this is Solomon speaking, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? In Psalm 25 it says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. And yet even after all that Solomon did, after all he sought after and prayed for, and all the Lord promised to him, all the prayer, the humility, etc., and seeking greater wisdom for the glory of God, he confesses that it was still far from him. Wisdom, still far from him. The most wisest mere man, you except Jesus, right? The wisest mere man ever to walk the face of the earth, it's still far from him. And he ends with a rhetorical question, verse 24. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as a hid treasures, for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And yet for Solomon and for us, still far from him. Who can find it? Be content in the measure of graces the Lord has granted to you, even your wisdom, for these remedies to put on. Who can find it? Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom. That's what Proverbs is about. Jesus Christ. Wisdom. And so, beloved, the remedies of the vanities of the world all center around looking above the sun to Jesus Christ. For life, for salvation of from our sins, for in seeking a good name, in seriousness, patience, wisdom in dealing with riches, submission to the Lord's providence, avoiding extremes to avoid unnecessary dangers, fearing the Lord. Wisdom in dealing with those that bring offense, and contentment with what the Lord has provided us. Beloved, the remedies are in looking above the sun, not in ourselves. Looking above the sun to the Lord and Jesus Christ consistently in faith and hope in the promises, again, that are found alone in His Word in Christ. But if you turn from Him and you focus under the sun, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And that, as we've learned, is a dangerous path. It leads to death as it leads to all for all people. And so, again, turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. That's the message of Ecclesiastes. Turn to Christ above the sun. To the Son, draw near to Him and love Him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for Your Son. Give us wisdom. Give us contentment. Give us that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And humility, make us to be godly prayers, to be righteous and yet not overly righteous. And not to turn to the vanities of this world, but put on these remedies that You have shown us, to look to Jesus, Your Son. Father, we still engage in many vanities. We're often tempted to more vanities. Turn us from these ways. And turn us to Your Son. Turn us to You even by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.